Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Kuf Yud. We are in Kuf Tesam and Beis. We are starting today with Adas Korach. Adas Korach can be found about 12 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Mishnah gave us a group of people who did not get a chelek in Olam Haba. So we have the Mishnah takes us back. Forgive me. The Mishnah takes us back to Kuf Ches Kuf Chesam and Aleph. Actually, the Mishnah started on Kuf Zayin and Beis. And so we discussed already the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga. And now we're up to Adas Korach. Adas Korach, we mentioned the Meraglim. Now we're up to Adas Korach. So as of course we're all familiar in the Midbar, an entire parsha is dedicated to this topic. So in the Midbar, so you had a group of people who were rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The ringleader, so to say, of this rebellious group is Korach. And he also was from Shevet Levi. And so the Gemara now discusses both him and his group. So Tana Rabbanan, so we start off with the Brisa Adas Korach and Lam Chelku Lam Abasha Namar. So V'techas Alem Ha'aretz, the land is going to cover them up. The Gemara Darshan's Bolam Hazer. V'yavdu Mitoch HaKal, and they're going to be lost from the congregation. Lam Haba Divrei Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva uses the double language to show that they don't get a chelk neither in this world nor in the world to come. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bezerra Omer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bezerra says no. Harehen Kaveda Mizbakeshes. They're going to be a lost item, but a lost item that's going to be found by its owner. The Gemara quotes the last pasuk in Perikuf Yates of Tehillim. Kuf Yates is a monster perik of Tehillim. It is 176 pasukim in Kuf Yates, and now we are reading pasuk Kuf Ayin Vav. This is a 176 pasuk. It's very organized. The 119th perik. It is the Aleph Beis, and each one of the Aleph Beis is repeated 8 times. So it's 8 times 22. So it's 176.
That was the issue of misbehaving. They would say, okay, it's a simple thing. Just learn by heart one
paragraph.
Kuf Yud Tes.
Okay. Okay.
This one.
Okay. The pasuk says, Ta'isi kiseh oved, bakesh avdechah ki mitzvasecha lo shachachti. And the way that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra understands the pasuk is like, I was like a lost sheep, but I didn't forget your mitzvos, and even though Adas Korach is temporarily lost, but it will be found, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra. And now what the Gemara is going to be doing is picking apart the psukim from the parsha of Korach. So we start with the first two words of the parsha, Ve'ikach Korach, Korach takes. Now, the pasuk doesn't tell us what he takes, so you look at Rashi over there on Chumash. Rashi is bothered by this question. Obviously the Gemara is bothered by this question as well. What did he take? Because it doesn't mention anything that he physically took. So v'ikach korach. So amar shakish lakach mekach ralatzmo. So what he took is he took literally a bad purchase, meaning he got for himself a bad deal by getting involved in this machlokus. So nothing good came out of it. So that was the mekach, so to say. Korach shenasa karcha b'Yisrael. And now the Gemara is going to be darshaning the name, his name. So his name is Korach. So the word kerach means a bold person, and he made a kind of like a bald spot for the Jewish people. Meaning by him having a number of Jews lost, so it created a bald spot. Ben Yitzar, Ben Shir Tiach Alav is called Am Kitzar Rayim. Just like the hot sun, you feel it in the afternoon. So too that he was, he caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu to be angry on the Jewish people like the hot sun. Ben Kahas, Ben Shihikashinav Molidav. So, right, we say this on Seder night, Hakei Chinav. You knock out his teeth. So Ben Kahas from the word Hikah, which basically means like the father who wants to knock out the teeth of his son. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt about Korach. And finally, Ben Levi, Ben Shanasa Leviya Begehenim. So he basically escorted, he accompanied people into Gehenim together with him. So I understand, it's interesting, we're talking about Sadiqim, Kahas, and Levi, but in the context of Korach, the Gemara has the ability to darshan it, which reflects poorly on Korach. Now, you'll notice, of course, which the Gemara is about to notice, that we stop, meaning we can just keep going up the Yichus and take it all the way up to Yaakov, and meanwhile Yaakov is not mentioned, and the Gemara wants to know why not. V'lichshav nami ben Yaakov. Again, you look at Rashi and Chumash, Rashi brings this down. So ben she'akev atzmol legehenim. Now, what would have been the drasha? The Gemara gives us a potential drasha, and that he is like a heel to that of Gehenim, meaning he sticks to Gehenim, clings to Gehenim. So Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Yaakov bikesh rachmem al atzmo. So Rashi brings this down in Chumash. So Yaakov asks for compassion upon himself. Shenem rebesodem al tov anashim bekalam al techad kvodi. when Yaakov is giving the brachas over to Shimon and Levi, so he says in his bracha, you know, it wasn't much of a bracha to them, but he says in the bracha that I don't want to be any part of it. I do not want to be a party to these two. So, b'sodam al tavan of shiha elam miraglim. So the sod, I don't want to be a part of. That's a reference to the miraglim of kam al techa kvodi zad des korach, and that's a reference to Korach. Now, it's interesting because he's talking to Shimon and Levi. So, of course, Levi did not send any messengers over to Eretz Yisrael through miraglim. Okay, and at the same time, Shimon also had no involvement in Korach. Okay, so in other words, even though he's talking to both Shimon and Levi, the Gemara continues Dasan. So now we're talking about those people who were together with Korach. So we start with Dasan, Shaval, Das El. So Dasan is a violator of the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviram, Sheiber, Atzmo Me'asos Tshuva. He strengthened himself, but not in the positive way. But in the most negative way, in that he refused to do tshuva. V'on, Sheyashav Aninos. And On, so he was in a state of pain and anguish. And this picture of Own being in anguish, meaning that on one hand he joined us in Vaviram, but on the other hand he knew it wasn't right. He knew it wasn't right. So Own ben Pelas, and now the Gemara Darshan's Own's father's name, Pelas, Pelshanasu lo Plaos. So he did wondrous things. Ben Ruvain, Ben Shira Vehevin. And he saw and he finally understood, meaning Own ben Pelas finally made a turnaround, and he understood that this isn't right, and he doesn't want to be a part of it. And Amarav. And now the Gemara is going to darshan, and perhaps one of the more popular things mentioned in today's daf, I know it's really yesterday's daf, but one of the most popular things, and that is, who saved On ben Pelas? We all know the answer. It's his wife. And Amarav On ben Pelas, Ishto Hitzalto. And here's the Gemara, bottom of Kuf Tesamad Beis, that tells us that On's wife saved him. And the Gemara tells the story. Ishto Hitzalto Amar Lei, Mai Nafgalach Mina, Imar Rabba Ant Tamida, V'Imar Rabba Ant Tamida. So she first tries to reason with her husband, and she says, look, what are you going to gain over here? Meaning right now, you're a disciple to Moshe. And let's say Korach wins. You're going to be a disciple to Korach. So for you, it's really, professionally, it's a lateral move. So you have nothing to gain over here. So Amrla, my Ovid. So he was totally on board. He was like, okay, I'm good. You're right. So I don't want to be part of this whole Korach rebellion. What do I do now? I already committed to them. We already have our secret club handshake. And like, what am I supposed to do? So have a be'etz of ishtav libadai, and I was together in council with them, and I already made a shvur, and I already made a pact with them. And what am I supposed to do? Amar le, so she says back to him, yadana dekula kenishta kedishta ninu. Look, I know they're all holy people. They're fascinating. Meaning, Korach is rebelling. Korach is, you know, creating machlokus. But as we'll see in just a moment, Korach together with his group, they're holy people. And since they're holy people, so dechsev ki kolai dakulam kedoshim. The pasuk says we're all holy. So that, in fact, that was Korach's point to Moshe. Why are you taking so much honor and so much of the leadership when meanwhile we're all holy? Amar le tuv da'ana matzinalach. So you sit here in the house and I'm going to save you. And here's what she did. Ashkesei chamer ve'ar vite. So she has him drink a lot of wine. He is now drunk. Ve'agnisei gave. And he goes lies down in bed. Ozva abava. Now she's sitting at the door. And what happens, of course, is that they are going to come around. They're going to pick him up, you know, for their club meeting. So visas salamazie. And now we turn to the top of Kufiyut Amud Aleph. And as she's now sitting at the front door, so she undoes her hair. So called the ase chazia hadar. So now they open up the door. They see her with her hair undone, and immediately they turn around, meaning that basically she's standing in the doorway with her hair uncovered, and they're there, and they know it's inappropriate. And they don't go any further. And adahach v'achi v'lu luhu. And all this while, meaning basically she stalls long enough, the members of Korach, they get swallowed up in the ground, and On ben Pelas' wife saves the day. Isis of Korach Amr Le. Now we're going to contrast that with the wife of Korach. The Gemara does a beautiful job over here in terms of contrasting good wife, bad wife. So we went over good wife, and now we're going to go over the opposite. We're talking now about the wife of Korach. Chazei Maika Avin Moshe, and she's basically egging. She's egging him on. Look at what Moshe did. Iu Avamalka. So he takes the monarchy for himself, and Chui Shavikan Rabba, and for Kohen Gadol he gives that to his brother, and Livnei Chui Shavino Sagne Dekanin. For his nephews he gives him deputy Kohen, and Iyasi Truma Amar Tavla Kohen. And if you get Truma, you know where it's going to go to. It's not going to go to you, Korach. It's going to go to Moshe. Some, sorry, it's going to go, sorry, it's going to go to his brothers and his nephews. He also meister de shakito aton. And even if they just bring meister, so, and you're going to get a portion of the meister, amar havachad meyasa lekohen. Meanwhile, 10% of your meister is going to go to the kohen. So even the port that you're going to get, you still got to, you got to kick back a little bit over to the kohen. So she basically is accusing Moshe of nepotism, kickbacks. Okay, so oh, the guys lemazaychu, and umitala luchu ki kofta, and look what Moshe is doing with Sheva Levi. Has them shave their entire body, right? In other words, that's part of the inauguration of the Levium. So they shave off not only the hair on the head, but the hair of the entire body. And she says, and basically, you know what Moshe is doing? He's playing with you. Playing with you like Rashi over here says, like excrement, he's just fooling around with you. And Einayav b'mazaychu. And really, what Moshe was doing is that he was jealous of the hair, and so therefore he shaves it off. Amar la ha'iyu namikavet. So Korach now tries to reason with his wife, and he says, you know, Moshe also being a shave member of the Shevet Levi, so he also shaved his body. So Amar lei kevin dekula rabusi didei. So since he took all the greatness for himself, Amar iunami. Okay, so he says, what do I have to do? I have to give off this impression that I'm also going to shave my body? Fine. So Tamos Nafshim, please shim. The Gemara quotes this pasuk from Shoftim very often. And you know, when Shimshon had to destroy the Plishtim, so he had to kill himself together with him. But his hatred for the Plishtim was so great that, okay, so he killed himself as well. So Moshe took a hit. Okay, fine, so Moshe shaved his body. But again, she's trying to egg him on. But don't you see, he took all the power. He gave his brother the Kohen Gadol, his nephew's Kuhuna, Truma, the kickbacks. In other words, okay, and he took a little bit of a hit, and so what? All right, so she's egging him on. So, so ve'od, the kam lechu avida techilta, and she also says, and look, this techilas, this blue dye, it's so good, it's so valuable. Isa gedachet techil chashita mitzvah. Now, if this techilas is so important and it's a mitzvah, apik limita techilta vekasin lekula mesivtcha. So you know what? You should take your entire yeshiva and have them dressed not with a thread of techilas, but with an entire garment of techilas. So Hainu Dichsiv, and now we just contrasted two wives, the wife of On and the wife of Korach. And now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei in the 14th perek, Chachmas Nashim Banta Baisa, that the wisdom of a wife built a household, that Ishtoshel On Ben Pelas. And that part of the pasuk is a reference to the wife of On. On the other hand, Ve'ivels Biada Tarsena, but the foolish one in her hand is going to destroy Zu Ishtoshel Korach. That is a reference to the wife of Korach. So it's an excellent question. I know, right? I to what degree can that be extended and utilized? I don't know.
Maybe she knew they wouldn't go forward.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. So they stood up in front of Moshe, and there was a group of 250. So the Gemara darshans. So miyuchadin shebe'eda. Now Moshe. No, I'm sorry, Moshe. Korach didn't take just anybody, but the 250 that they take were miyuchadim. They were special. So kriya moish ayyodim la'aber shanim l'kvar chadashim. Knowledgeable. They knew how to adjust months. They knew how to adjust years. Anshei shem shayilahem shem b'chol ha'olam. High reputations. So Korach was able to convince 250, not just guys, but 250 very special people. Vayishma Moshe v'yipol apanav. Now Moshe hears this and he falls right in his face. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Mash Moshe, what did he hear? Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, shechashdu me'eshes ish. So what they did is that they started spreading rumors about Moshe. And then they just basically concocted a narrative in which Moshe was after their wives. Shenemar v'yikana l'Moshe b'machane. And the word, that's the pasuk from Tehillim in the 106th parak. And what does it mean? V'yikana l'Moshe b'machane? Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak m'lamit shekol echa v'echa kina es ishto mi'Moshe. Everyone gave a warning to the wives about Moshe. Unfounded, but okay, but rumors work that way. Meaning that even though it's an unfounded rumor, but you start saying it enough times, people are going to start believing it. So and they all gave a warning. Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak Malamit Shekolach Avecha Kines Yishem Moshe. I'm sorry, I read that. Shenamar Moshe Ikaches Aovan Atolom Michutz LaMachane. And what Moshe did is he took his tent and he had to go outside. Meaning basically he had to lay low. So because the rumors really started circulating and swirling that he was involved in lascivious behavior with people's wives. Vayaka Moshe Vayelecha Dasan Vavira. And the pasuk describes how Moshe now tries to make peace, and Moshe himself gets up and goes directly to Dasan Vavira. And I'm a Rish Lakish Mikan. She'in Machzikim B'Machlokas. To the best of your ability, try not to protract an argument. If you have an argument, and I imagine they're out there, if you have an argument, so try your best to bring it to an end as soon as possible. The Amar Rav Kol Machzik B'Machlokas Over Belav. Rav says that anyone who protracts a debate and controversy is in violation of a negative prohibition. The Torah says that you should not be like Korach and his Eda, meaning you shouldn't protract any kind of debate. Rav Ashi Amar Rai Litzare Ksiv Hacha B'yad Moshe Lo Ksiv Hasam V'yam Hashem Lo Od Havei Na Yadcha B'chekecha. Based on psukim using the word yad, so you see that somebody who protracts a debate and prolongs an argument is going to be subject to somebody who's worthy of getting tzaras. As long as we're talking about not arguing, the Gemara interjects over here just quickly with a point of not arguing with Beis David. And anyone who does so is subject to being, at least is worthy of being bitten by a snake. So by Adoniyahu, who in the beginning of Malachim Aleph, the first parak of Malachim Aleph, tries to usurp the throne, being that he is a son to David, so he figures now he's in a position where he could take the authority, and he starts offering karbanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a signal that he in fact is the now going to be the next king. Uksiv Hasam, and it says at the end of Sefer Devarim, so im chamazoch leafar, that thing slinks along the ground, otherwise known as a snake. So the Gemara now is just simply putting the two psukim side by side. So anyone who tries to argue with Malchus Beis David is fit to have been bitten by a snake. We are now, we are into Daf Kuf Yud, and we are halfway down on the Amud. Okay, we start with Amar of Chista. It's the first long line on the Amud. Amar of Chista, Kolacholik al Rabo, anyone who argues with his Rebbe. So kecholak al shchina, it's like arguing with the shchina. Shenamar batzosem al Hashem. So the pasuk says regarding Korach and his group that you argued with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now they're arguing with Moshe, but that's exactly the point. Arguing with Moshe is tantamount to arguing with the shchina. Am Rabbi Chana kol ha'osem meriva im rabo. If you make a fight with your Rebbe, ka'osem im hashchina, it's like fighting with the shchina. Shenamar hema mei meriva asher rabu b'nei Yisrael. Es Hashem. Now, even though they were really arguing with the Kadosh, even though they were really arguing with Moshe, but again, tantamount to arguing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rabbi Chanina bar Papa kol ha-mitraim al Rabo. So, if you are complaining that what your Rebbe is doing is he's being too tough and too difficult, and kilo mitraim al Shechina, it's like arguing with the midas of the Shechina. Shenemar lo aleinu tlun osechem ki al Hashem. So at the end of Bishalach, it says, "Not you're not arguing with me, but rather with a Kadosh Baruch Hu." Amar Rabbi Abba Kol HaMeharer Acharabo. So if you accuse a Rebbe of acting inappropriately, Kila Meharer Acharshchina, it's like accusing the Shechina. Obviously, the Gemara here means it's unfounded, right? It's an obvious point. If it's founded, so then there's something to talk about. But if it's unfounded and you are questioning and challenging your Rebbe that he's not acting appropriately, so it's like making those accusations against the Shechina. Shenemar v'yedaber ha'am be'elokim uve'moshe. The people spoke against God and against Moshe. Okay. Back to Korach, back to Darshan and Psukim regarding Korach. It says in Koheles, Osher shamor leva'alav l'raso. So the wealth causes bad for its owner. And the Gemara explains this pasuk in the Koheleth, in light of Korach, Amar Ish Lakish, that Osher Shel Korach. So Korach got onto a lot of wealth. And in a moment, we're going to explain how he got onto such wealth, meaning everyone who left Mitzrayim got some wealth. But as the Gemara is going to explain, Korach got excessive wealth, and we're going to explain that better in just a moment. So it says, "As kol yikum asher beraglehem." Amar Rav Elazar zeman amonos shal adam shemamidim al raglav. The pasuk in Devarim describes that they had a lot of possessions, and Rav Elazar says the money of a person stands him up, meaning that what makes a person feel that he's got stature, that his position should be heard, that his argument should be heard. So money, right? Money makes a person feel important. It makes them feel like now that I got money, oh, so good. So people now should listen to me, and that's how Korach felt, and that's what stood him up, made him feel like what he said was, you know, something that people should listen to. I'm Rabbi Levi, Masri Shalosh Meos Prados Levavos. I'm sorry, Levanos. Hayu Maftecho Shal Beis Knesset of Shokarach Vekula Aklid Veklipe Deglida. The Gemara over here, with probably a little bit of hyperbole, in other words, 300, whenever you see the number 300. So you know the Gemara over here speaking a little bit, Belashon Guzman, a little bit of exaggeration, but it took 300 mules just to carry the keys to get into the chests, into the vault of Korach's wealth. So in other words, Korach had a lot of money, okay? Just, you know, and the Gemara here obviously giving a detailed picture of just what it took to carry the keys to the locks to get into the vaults of Korach. I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chinnu, Shosh Matmonios, Hitzmin Yosef ben Mitzrayim. And now the Gemara goes on to explain, and where did Korach get this abundance wealth from? Where was this from? So it was from the treasury of Yosef. Yosef. Yosef, if you recall, so during the famine, during the, really the global famine, so everyone came to Mitzrayim to buy grain from Mitzrayim. And so basically Yosef had an unbelievable treasury. And so what Yosef did is he basically broke it up into three, and he placed them in three different locations. And now what the Gemara is explaining is that after Yosef now is long dead, having his three treasures buried somewhere through Mitzrayim, so Achas Nizgalta LaKorach, so Korach found one of them. And that is the source of the excessive wealth that Korach got. Achas Nizgalta LaAntoninus Ben Asphiros. And another one was given to one of the Caesars of Rome. And Achas Genuzel Tzadikim Lassim Lavo, and one is going to be held for Tzadikim for the future. Okay. I'm Rav Yochanan. So Korach lo min abluim v'lo min asrufim. Okay, now we talk about the fate of Korach, and this I found to be so interesting. I mean, you know, all of it is, but this one's really interesting. What happened to Korach at the end? Well, we know that regarding his group, there were two fates that were met by his group. So one part of his group got swallowed by the ground. Another part of his group got burned in fire. So really, now we have two possibilities in terms of what happened to Korach himself. And really, like any good multiple choice question, there really is an answer C, which is none of the above. And the Gemara now points out that Rav Yochanan's position is he's going to go with C. He's going to opt with C. That neither happened to Korach himself. Amar Rav Yochanan, lo min habluim v'lo min hasrufim. So he wasn't swallowed in the ground, he wasn't burned in the fire. Lo min habluim dichsiv, the pasuk says, that the earth opened up its mouth, it swallowed them, their houses, V'ez kol adam asher li Korach. Anyone who was together with Korach, but v'lo Korach, but not Korach himself. And v'lo min asrufim, and at the same time also, wasn't burnt. The pasuk says, "Dichsiv b'chol ha'ish ha'chamishim ha'masayim ish." The fire burned the 250 men, and the Gemara darshans v'lo Korach, but not Korach himself. So according to Rav Yochanan, what happened to Korach? Neither. And over here, in the Masifta, he quotes the Chasam Sofer. This is great. The Chasam Sofer says, and is that just? Meaning in Korach, in other words, he instigated this whole fight, and meanwhile, in terms of a fate, not swallowed up by the ground and not burnt, and the Chasam Sofer says, yeah, and that is going to be his fate. Meaning he's going to see his own defeat. And he's going to have to live with the shame of having been responsible for a group swallowed by the ground and another group burnt by fire. And the Chasam Sofer says, yeah, and that was in fact the punishment of Korach. Now in the Braisa, huh? Right. And in the Braisa says it a little bit differently. In other words, there's now actually in our multiple choice test of what happened to Korach, there actually is a D, and that is both, right? A and B. So that's the Braisa holds like that. So where did I go? Ben Masisa Tana, right? Ben Masisa Tana in the Braisa, Korach min asufim u min abluim. So he was both. He was both burnt and he was also swallowed by the ground. So minablum dichsiv. So again, we're going back to that same pasuk. Vatiflau sam ve'eskorach. Okay, now you got to look at the pasuk inside. We're kind of repunctuating the pasuk, but okay. And minasrufim, and he was also burnt dichsiv. Ve'ish yatzam eis Hashem v'tochal es chamishim amasayim ish ve'korach ba'adayu. Now the pasuk doesn't say that. But the Gemara now is making an assumption. At least the Braisa is that Korach was together with the people who were burnt as well. So therefore, really, now we have four options of what happened to Korach. Either he was swallowed by the ground, or he was burnt, or neither, or both. Okay. And Rav Yochanan says neither, and the Braisa says both. Amarava, my dichsiv. The pasuk in Chavakuk, Shemesh Yerech Amad Zvula La'or Chatzecha Yalechu. To understand and appreciate this little bit of Gemara coming up right now, so you have to know the following. The way the Chachamim viewed the sky, it was basically dome on top of dome on top of dome. Okay, obviously, astronomically, okay, we have a slightly different view of the heavens and the atmosphere. But okay, in other words, but one doesn't have to detract from the other. In other words, it's just simply different viewpoints of how to view the heavens. So the Chachamim basically have dome on top of dome, and there are seven rikios altogether. So there are seven levels, if you will, basically in the atmospheric rikia. So you're in an elevator, and basically you have seven floors to choose from. Okay, where is the sun and the moon generally? So they're in one of the domes called rikia, meaning rikia is actually a reference to the actual seven celestial domes, one on top of the other, and the second one is called actually rikia, and that's where the sun and the moon, that's where they generally are, in terms of this view of heaven. And there are many, there are now going to be obviously five above them. So now the Gemara points out, Shemesh Yerech, now you understand the Pasuk in Chavakuk, you don't understand, but you understand the problem with the Pasuk in Chavakuk. The Navi describes Shemesh Yerech, Amad Zvula, Lor Chitzecha Yalechu. So the sun and the moon are in Zvul. Now Zvul is in the fourth floor of the celestial floor plan. So they're on the fourth floor. That's not normally where they dwell. And now, so now you see the problem. And now the Gemara goes on to explain. Malamed alu shemesh v'yareach. So lizvul. So basically what happened, sun and the moon, they went on strike. So instead of being normally where they are, which is rakia, which is number two, so they go to zvul, which is number four. Amal afon rebonu sholam imatao said din. And they basically said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, look, right now Korach is getting the best of Moshe. In other words, we're on strike. We're not gonna operate the way the world normally operates if you don't take Moshe's cause. Okay? Achazarik Bayam, Mechitim, Amalem Bhvodimlo Mechitim. So Bhvod Basavadam Mechitim. So an argument that we actually saw earlier in this parak of Chelek, we get to see now again. And that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, look, when you see the kings bowing down to you, so and it's idolatry and avodah zarah, it doesn't bother you so much. But bein adam lechavero, you see Korach and Moshe, and you see the way Korach is assaulting Moshe, and that bothers you. So Kadosh Baruch Hu throws the arrows, and ha'idna lo nafke adamachuluhu, and to this very day, so the gzera of Kadosh Baruch Hu was. Is that the sun and the moon don't come up until Kadosh Baruch Hu hits them, so to say. Again, obviously, all this has to be understood with an understanding that there's depth over here. But kipshuto, that's all learned out from the pasuk in Chavakuk. Darsh Rava my dechsev, the Gemara quotes im briyav v'yivra Hashem u'pasa adam aspia. So if Akash Baruch Hu will create. What creation are we talking about over here? I'm emotional for Akash Baruch Hu in Bria Gehenna, Muta Ve'imlav, Yivra Hashem. So if there is a, if there's already a Gehenna, Moshe says to Akash Baruch Hu, perfect. Because then I know where to send Korach and his group. But if not, so now's a great time to make Gehenna. To which the Gemara says, what? Lamai. So Ilay Malimivre Mamish, it was Moshe actually suggesting that Akash Baruch Hu should, at this point in time, make Gehenna. So Vaha Ein Kol Chash Tachas Hashemesh, but that can't be. Meaning Breishis happened one time. After Breishis, everything's created. Nothing is created after that point in time. Ela Lekruve Pischa, the Gemara says, what Moshe was asking for was a closer access point to Gehenna. Meaning, if we have an access point here, that's it's fine. And if not, now's a good time to make a portal. Uvenei korach lamesu. Tanam, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Moshe, I'm sorry, Mishum Rabbeinu. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Amru, as far as this pasuk is concerned, Uvenei korach lamesu, so it was taught. Makam nizbatzalem begehenem. Biyashua lava amru shira. There was some sort of cleft where the Bnei Korach were able to go, sit on this cleft, and they sung Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we are on the bottom of Kuf Yud. Amar Rabba Bar Chana Zimnechana Havaka Izna Baorcha. Rabba Bar Chana tells the following story. Amar Li Ahutaya, an Arab, came over to me. Tavech v'lech blu de Korach. I know where Korach was buried in the ground. Also, so Rabbi Barachana accompanied this Yishmaeli, this Arab, and they go now and they locate. Chazatre bize davekanafe kitra minahu. Two cracks in the ground where smoke was emanating from the cracks. So shako gavava damra amshe maya v'usve beresh rumche. So what Rabbi Barachana does is he takes some wool, soaks it in water, puts it at the end of a spear, and dips the spear now into the cracks in the ground. The achlefe hasam puts it in. And ichrech, and it singes, it's so hot down there. Amarlei, so, atis mashamas. So, listen carefully to what we're about to hear. Ushamas avakamr hachi. And now, listen really carefully, and here's what they're hearing. Moshe v'saraso emes, v'hein badayin. Moshe together with the Torah's truth, and they, meaning a reference to themselves, they're joking. They're fake. Amr Li. So now the Arab says to me, Kol tasen yom mahadra lehu gehenem kebas besoch kalachas. And every 30 days, they get flipped. To get burnt, so to say, on the other side. Amr Hachi, and every 30 days, once they get flipped, they say, Moshe v'sara, so emes v'heim badayim. Okay. Adkan divrei ha-gemara. That is the end of the Gemara as it relates to Korach v'adaso. We are now up to the Dor HaMidbar. Dor HaMidbar ein lahem chelek olam haba. Tanu Rabbanan, Dor HaMidbar ein lahem chelek olam haba. The Gemara quotes a b'raisa. Shenemar ben midbar ze yitamu v'sham yamusu. Yitamu ba'olam hazeh v'sham yamusu ba'olam haba. Ending in this world and ending in the world to come. V'omer. In addition to that, we have another pasuk. Asher nishbati be'apim yavuna manuchasi. Pasuk in Tehillim, which we're familiar with. Say it weekly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that he's not going to bring them to the resting place. Meaning them, meaning the Dor HaMidbar. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Adkan Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that they're not getting a chelek in Olam Haba. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bain Hein Olam Haba. No, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, they are going to get a chelek. Shenemar, Isfu Li Chasi Dai, Korsi Ebrisi Alai Zavach. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Tehillim, 50th parak of Tehillim, describing how they are going to be gathered. Now, as far as what we do with the pasuk of, I did swear, but I swore my anger. Meaning it was, kavayachal, like to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu emotions makes him sound like us. He's not us. But in other words, just it's a way of us at least beginning to understand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made the shvua out of anger. But in other words, but he didn't mean it as a bona fide shvua. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karach Omer lo nemar pasuk zela kenegedoros habayim. This pasuk that we just quoted, Asvuli Chasidai, that's only for future generations. Isvuli Chasidai le tzadikim shebechol dor vador. That's a reference to tzadikim in every generation. Of course, the Brisi, Eile Chananya Mishal ve'Azariah shemasu asam lesochiv shana esh. The kores is for those people who sacrificed, like Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, who threw themselves into the furnace. So, Alai Zavach, El Rabbi Akiva Chaver, Shemasu Atzmo Leshchita Al Divrei Torah. And the Alai Zavach is a reference to Rabbi Akiva, who handed himself over for Divrei Torah. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh Omer, Bain Hein La'olam Haba. Shimon Manasseh says regarding the Dor HaMidbar that they are going to get a chelek in Olam Haba, Shenemar, Uvdei Hashem Yishuvun Va'utzion Birina. That those people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed, meaning the Dor HaMidbar, redeem them from Mitzrayim, so Uvau Tzion Birina, they're going to get a portion in Olam Haba. Amar Rabba Baruch Hanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shafka Rabbi Akiva Chasidusei. Now, the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you know, Rabbi Kiva over here is being uncharacteristic. Characteristically, he looks for the good in people. And he's normally a chassid in this regard. And over here, by Rabbi Kiva making an accusation, not an accusation, but a shita, a position, in which he says that the Dor HaMidbar are not going to be getting a chelang olam haba, so Rabbi Yochanan notes, it's uncharacteristic of Rabbi Kiva, and on top of that, there is a pasuk which we're about to see together, where you could really make an argument that the Dor HaMidbar is going to get a chelak and olam haba. And effectively what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, I have a difficult time understanding Rabbi Kiva. Meaning, characteristically, he's very compassionate, right? He's optimistic in terms of looking for the good. And over here with the Dor HaMidbar, it seems like he missed an opportunity to darshan positively. Shenamar. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from the beginning of Yirmiyahu, the second parak of Yirmiyahu. Halach v'karasi b'aznei Yishalayim le'mor, zechart l'achesu n'arach avas k'lu l'asach l'achtecha achara ben midbar b'aretz lo zeru'ah. So the Navi Yirmiyahu is basically saying, look, I'm going to redeem you just like I redeemed the Dor HaMidbar. So now, this is Rav Yochanan saying, look, we can make a very simple argument. Ma acherim b'ayim b'zechusam. If other people are saying, look, I'll credit you just like I credited the Dor HaMidbar, so, hey, Matzman, look, Kol Shekein. So if they're a model for others in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember you, you don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember them, the Dor HaMidbar? So Rav Yochanan says, it seems pretty clear that the Dor HaMidbar is going to be looked at favorably, and Rabbi Akiva could have looked at that pasuk in Yirmiyahu and arrived at that conclusion, and uncharacteristically, Rabbi Akiva does not do that.
Could be.
Rav Yochanan just, you know, leaves it as a question. Meaning he doesn't understand. Aser Sashvatim, we're now up to the 10 tribes. 10 northern tribes, which, again, just a quick history. Crash course. During the Bayis Rishon, during the first temple, so already by the third Melech, by Rechavam, so there was a split between the north and the south. We've gone over this a number of times. In Perek Chelek, this obviously thematically comes up again and again. And then, for a good part now of Bayis Rishon of the first temple, so you had now, and you had two dual malchus going on concurrently, one in the south and one in the north. The south is run by those who descended from David HaMelech, and in the north, so you had kings, from Shevet Ephraim, Yeravam was from Shevet Ephraim, and other kings as well, so who ruled in the north, most of them being seemingly not that good. I mean, Achav was, you know, was a model of, you know, a bad king from the north. Anyway, sometime towards the end of Bayis Rishon, so you had Sancheriv Melech Asher who came down and decimated the northern kingdom, didn't kill them all, but sent them into exile. Where are they? That's an excellent question. So the a question which at this point in time is unanswerable. What will happen to them? The Mishnah now is discussing. So Aseret HaShvatim, so the Mishnah here discusses in terms of the 10 northern tribes. So Einam Asinim Lachzor, they're not going to come back. Shenemra Veishlechem Al Eretz Acheres Kayom Hazeh. They're going to be sent to another land like today. Now Ma HaYom Holech VeNechozer, just like today. You know, today is going to come to an end. And it's not going to come back. It's irreversible. Avheim Holech VeNechozer, same thing is going to happen to the northern kingdom. They're going to go and they're not going to come back to Rabbi Akiva. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. I know we just finished the Gemara a moment ago talking about how it's uncharacteristic for Rabbi Akiva, you know, to see pessimism and to see, you know, and to see demise. And it's just interesting because, okay, yeah. There's a couple times in this parak where Rabbi Akiva is not optimistic. Okay, but anyway, we will see a little bit late, in just a couple minutes from now, we're going to see where Rabbi Akiva is, in fact, going to look for optimism and look for the good. That's coming up in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, regarding the Asar Shvatim, so Rabbi Kiva says they're not coming back. And Div Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kayom Hazeh Mayom Ma'afil, Umeir, Afasar Shvatim Shafil Lahem, Kach Asida Lahayir Lahem. You know how the day starts? The day starts where it starts to get a little bit light, right? I walked out of my house this morning, just a little bit light. And then what happens is then it gets bright. So that's the mashal. That's the way to understand the mashal of the pasuk regarding the Asar Shvatim, meaning that when they were exiled, so that's like the early morning. It's like it can't see so well, But then you know what's going to happen? Enlightenment. Meaning they're going to find their way home and they're going to come back. That is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So machlokas in the Mishnah, whether or not the Asar Shvatim are or are not going to come back. Now, presumably, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that they're not talking about Olam Haba, but they're just simply talking about the return of the exiles of the Northern Kingdom. However, the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, and it seems to be that this machlokas is not just limited to whether or not they're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, but the larger ramifications of Olam Haba. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Aseres HaShvatim, Ein lam chel galam haba, shenemar v'yitashem Hashem me'al admasam, af be'af uvechema uvekesef gadol. And the Gemara darshan, v'yitashem Hashem me'al admasam, alam hazev, v'yishachem al eretz acheres olam haba, div Rabbi Akiva. So in the Braisa, it's certainly clear that Rabbi Akiva over here was not just talking about returning to Eretz Yisrael, but receiving chelik in olam haba. Which, again, in our parak thematically fits, it's just that in the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah doesn't mention olam haba. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, ish kfar ako, omer mishum, Rabbi Shimon, im ma'aseyem kayom hazem, so einam chozrim ve'im lav chozrim. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda takes kind of like a compromise position. Well, it really depends. Meaning, if they maintain their position and they do not do tshuva, so einachinami, they're not going to get a chelgan olam haba. However, if they are chozer b'tshuva, so then they are going to get a chelgan olam haba. Rabbi Omer, Baim Hem Lalam Haba, Shinem Rabbi Yamahu Yitzakabashav Agadol. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Yeshayahu. So we're familiar, right? They turned this into a popular song. So the second half of the Pasuk. Uvahu Ovdim Beretz Asher, Vanidachim Beretz Mitzrayim, Vishach Velashem, Baharakosh, Vishalayim. Anyway, it was the right, meaning the second half of the Pasuk that the Gemara does not quote. Uvahu Ovdim Beretz Asher. Right, those who were taken by Eretz Asher, meaning that's the Northern Kingdom, and they're going to return. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara.
It doesn't mean Olam Haba. It means on a land.
You're right, but he understands that's Olam Haba. Continuing in the Gemara, the Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan Shavka, Rabbi Akiva Lachasu, they say, again, Rav Yochanan makes the same point that he made previously, and that Rabbi Akiva is being uncharacteristic. So, in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in the third parak of Yirmiyahu, so the Navi seems to be pretty clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember everybody. He's going to bring everybody back. So it seems to be, like, again, Rabbi Yochanan makes the same point that he made previously, and that is seemingly Rabbi Akiva missed an opportunity to be optimistic and to give the benefit of the doubt to the Northern Kingdom, especially when you have a pasuk that seems to be pretty clear that they are going to come back, and it's just simply uncharacteristic of Rabbi Akiva. So how many times can you be uncharacteristic and still be called, I'm not in character? So that's a fair question, which is what the Gemara now is going to ask. Meaning, and Rabbi Akiva now is characteristically favorable. So the Gemara says, yes. My chassidu say. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan kept repeating, you know, Rabbi Akiva over here is being uncharacteristic. So where do we see that? Where's his norm? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the following braisa. Ketane b'nei Rishay Yisrael. So you have the minor children of Jews, but the parents themselves are Rishayim. So what becomes now of these children? Ein b'im olam haba shenemar. So there is a shita which is, you know, it's a difficult shita, but there is a shita which is they too are not going to get a portion in the world to come. So ein b'im So ein b'im olam haba shenemar. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Malachi, third parak. Ki na yom ba bo'er katanor vaya kol zedim v'chol osei risha kash v'liat osam ayom haba. So the Pasuk Malachi is describing those people who are sinners, like intentional sinners. They're going to be destroyed, and they're not going to have sharish va'anaf, not a root, not a branch. So sharish ba'olam hazeh va'anaf olam haba, div Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel says that they're going to be totally cut off, and not only them, but also their children as well. Okay. So again, as I mentioned, it's a difficult position, but the Navi seems to be supporting that position. and that the Rishayim are going to lose entirely, even the young children. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Baim Hem La'olam Haba. No, the children of the Rishayim are going to get a Chelek in Olam Haba, Shenemer Shomer Pesayim Hashem. And Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over fools, and Shekein Korin Bekar Chayam Le'yinuka Pasya. And Rabbi Kiva says, do you know that if you go out to the islands, and the way they describe Yanuka children is by using the word Pasya. So the Shomer Pesayim Hashem literally translates as the Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over fools, but in this context could also be understood as the Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over the children who are coming from Rishayim, but still the Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over them as well. The Omer, Gudi Ilanova Chavlui Barami Kar Sharshaba Arash Shavku. So he quotes also another pasuk from Daniel, fourth parak of Daniel, where you cut the tree down, they bow down to the tree, but the roots remain intact. Meaning that despite the fact that the tree itself is worshipped and therefore the tree is to be destroyed, but since the roots have been detached already, the roots are going to remain intact. And much like the children of the Rishayim are going to have a chelek in Olam Haba. Ve'elamani mekayim lo yazor lam shosh va'anaf. And we go back to the pasuk from Malachi. What do you do with that pasuk in Malachi? Shelo yaniach lahem lo mitzvah v'lo shiur mitzvah. That what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the Rishayim is that he cuts them off, meaning he gives them no zechuyas whatsoever. They don't have the zechus mitzvah, not even shayari mitzvah, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys them in a way in which they have no merit whatsoever. The Sharashim and the Anafim are not talking about the children, but talking about any good deed that they did. Davar acher sharash zunashama anaf zuagof. Or another way to understand and describe these two parts of the pasuk, Sharish is a reference to the neshama, Anaf is a reference to the guf, but again, it's talking about them in themselves, not their children. Okay, Avakane ben Erishav de Kochavim, Devarakol ein baim lalam haba. So now we have the words in the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel. Maybe it should be expunged. That's the Gaon suggestion. Anyway, but Nafgalei may v'te'abe kol zecher lamo. So as far as children of Rishayim of the Kochavim, so they have no portion in the world to come. That's not even subject to a machlokas. The Gemara says that part's clear. Okay. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the word Itmar on the bottom of the Amud. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.